Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started. Boat Trader, America's largest boating marketplace, offering easy financing and over 100,000 boat listings to choose from. Sell, find, and finance new or used boats on America's largest boating marketplace. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
Welcome to DSC's Untamed Heritage, the unique blend of hunting, conservation, and the outdoor lifestyle, delivered in an entertaining and informative fashion as only a veteran outdoorsman can do. DSC's Untamed Heritage is brought to you by Dallas Safari Club, conservation, education, protecting hunters' rights. Hornady, accurate, deadly, dependable. Trigicon, brilliant aiming solutions. Texas-raised hunting products, the scent gods. Burnham Brothers Game Calls, calling is calls made. Double Nickel Taxidermy, where hunting memories are preserved. Now here's your host, Larry Wysoon.
What a great opportunity to sit down this morning with Miss Carrie Meadows. Miss Carrie, you wear many hats at DSC, I understand.
That's very and
true. I see you around at different things that we do, and I see your name at different places. What is? I know that you're very much involved with Camp Talk, among other things.
So my title is Managing Editor / Awards Coordinator.
Oh, my gracious.
Yes, exactly. So Camp Talk's our monthly newsletter. So that means every month I have a new deadline for Camp Talk, and that includes, you know, anything from a hunt report that we might get to what's happening with the convention, or, you know, an update from corporate sponsors or anything that's going to pass through, if it's a press release, to fun, I call it fun science news. Maybe other people call it boring, exciting new science news. And, so, yeah, I mean, and we have our, you know, member content in there, too. So we try to fit a lot in a, you know, 20-page newsletter.
Without a doubt. Yeah. It's absolutely a fantastic publication. It's also available online now, isn't it?
It is. It's on our website, so anyone can check that out anytime,
Right. Yep. And they can do that by going to...
Yeah, you go to biggame.org, and there's a media tab on there, and you can find it under publications,
DSC's got a great diversification of members in terms of hunting experience to the people who are just now maybe even thinking about getting into hunting, to those who have hunted a lot of places all over the world. You mentioned a member story?
Of course, So, you know, we have our quarterly magazine, Game Trails, which we have the, it's a full-color magazine, so it has those long feature stories, and it features, you know, nice photographs and members' stories there. But if you have a shorter one, you're like, you know, maybe I don't know if there was a huge story in there. We sometimes call them hunting moments. So, you know, it's kind of more digestible. It's like a quick glimpse into something cool that happened. Or maybe you had a, you saw something else that wasn't, you know, directly related to the hunt, and it made you look up something afterwards. And you're like, hey, that was cool. I didn't know about that. I think Camp Dog is just a great place to put those smaller stories.
I do, too. I think in the last one, there was a story about the gentleman that hunted bear, black bear in Oklahoma. I think a lot of people even have no idea that there were black bear available to be hunted
in any numbers. When that came in, I was almost wondering if it was going to be one of those... you know, I remember my grandfather told me, and you're like, you know, hey, that's great, too. We love those kind of stories. So we opened it, and Jay and I both were like, oh, hey, no, there's something here. This is definitely not what we were expecting. And I know if we're not expecting it, other people who aren't from around here aren't going to expect it either. So
exactly. How would describe to me, okay, I'm a member, and you mentioned some very interesting things there about maybe you were on a hunt and you saw something that was totally disrelated from the hunt, yet it made an impression upon you.
Yes.
What's the best way to parlay or to get to sit down and write a story, a short story, a long story, whatever? You know, what? How do you suggest people do that? Maybe they're not experienced writers.
So I come from a science background. So my thought is always to just maybe do bullet points. You know, just you write one thing. It's 7 a.m. and I just heard something, and then you have like a few follow up bullet points. We can work with that. And you know, even if you send something in that is kind of written like not a diary entry, we're not going to go that rudimentary. But you know, if you you have a couple sentences of something you saw that was cool and you had a photo, or maybe you don't have the exact photo, but it's the area where you saw something or heard something or learned something. That's really all it takes. It's super simple. And
how do they get this to you? And then I want to come back to something about photos as well.
I have one of those harder names to spell. So if you just email me my first name at biggame.org. So that's Carrie, K-A-R-R-I-E, at biggame.org.
Right.
It's not as easy as, you know, Nate or Corey, but I always have to spell it a few times. But, yeah, it's real easy. And, you know, anything that gets sent to info@biggame.org. We'll get to
you're
us in
get
public.
To see as well,
yes,
too.
Yeah.
So maybe if nothing else, if somebody had something happen, then they just want to do a sentence, almost like I used to do with Queryist, where I'd send a query letter,
exactly,
which we did years ago. You know, with maybe a lead-in sentence or a description, and so. God, I had this unbelievable experience kind of thing.
Yes, yeah. And sometimes even things that aren't that exciting are still cool to someone who might not, you know, if you're in, I don't know, New Mexico, someone who's in Maine, you know, might never experience that.
Exactly.
Or haven't recently and now they want to. So, yeah.
So the world is wide open in that respect.
Yes, and that's how I feel like I always view things. And sometimes it's like a small fact or something, but I'm like, that's so cool. You know, you don't hear that every day.
Exactly.
And that's why the many hats things can get overwhelming. I was just looking at the website stuff when you came in here, and it's just like, okay, let's switch gears. Let's talk to some people as opposed to staring at the back end of the website, you know?
I want to touch on photographs real quick, and then I want to come back to something else again that you just brought up. But what about photography?
So, you know, anyone who has iPhones now are so print friendly. So
the photography that people are getting off iPhones is unbelievable.
And I say iPhone, even though I have an Android. So there's definitely no hate to the Android world as well. But you know, if you just have you know, a couple photos, that's what CamTalk's great for too, because we can make a story out of two photos. You know, Game Trails kind of has to have a lot of different things going on, but. Yeah, anything can really work now. Even if we have to make it a little smaller to, you know, adjust to a smaller size photo, we can probably make it work.
Interesting. And I had a thought that I was going to ask you, and unfortunately it's kind of fleeted
well,
by the wayside.
We also have the photo contest the awards hat for a second.
Let's do that.
Yeah,
yes.
So for the 2021 contest that ends, you know, the end of January is the deadline. Any photo taken in 2020 can be submitted for that. And we have a couple different categories, a hunting and fishing one, wildlife, the other category, which could be, you know, anything. And we even have a mobile device one for straight from the cell phone. So if you don't have, you know, a super deluxe camera or anything, you could still, you know, be a top photo regardless.
As you were saying to me, some of the photos I've seen recently shot on phones, I'm going, my gosh, I wish I could have shot that kind of photo in years past with the 35mm things that we were shooting at the time.
And honestly, even the amateur photographers now are really creating some fantastic images. I mean, a simple crop of a photo, even if you pull out your camera really fast to grab something, if you take just a few moments to crop out something on the edge, you can really get a fantastic image. I mean, I don't get to judge. I just get to kind of, you know, sit on the committee. And I watch some of those photos go through, and I'm like, wow, these aren't even professionals. You know, this is just our members being outside.
I think that's one of the important things to remember. Years ago, we didn't have the phones that you have in your pocket all the time now or with you. But we used to carry cameras all the time. And to me, that was one of the important things that you did. You carried some kind of photo recording device, if you will, wherever you went.
Yeah.
Because you never know when that opportunity. So very often, you say, gosh, I wish I'd had a camera with me. Well, now there's really no excuse. You do.
And I am not as quick as, say, like my sister. I know she could see something and have it out in a second. I still need to, like, find where I left it, you know, pull the camera up. So, and there's still that hesitation that I have, too. But, yeah, that photo contest is pretty friendly to, you know, any members.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think I saw some of the winning photographs not very long
yes,
ago.
Yes, they were just published in the fall game trails.
Yes, yeah. That's the one. And some of those photos are absolute.
Yes.
I dare professional people who have
right.
years and years of experience to come up with one that will equal
yes.
what those photos were.
Well, the wildlife category is always one of my favorites because, you know, some people could sit outside for, you know, whatever, 20 hours and never see it. But either you were lucky or you sat out there 50 hours to make it happen and you got that lucky shot. I mean, those things you can't plan,
no,
you know.
No.
And that's what I love about the photography, too.
You mentioned the other awards.
Yes.
There are some other awards we annually give
yes.
through DSC.
So another member award is the trophy awards.
Yes.
And you have to be a member when you take
the animal. Yes.
Yes. Which, you know, not to confuse anybody, but that should, in fact, make it easier than you already know us and we could kind of get everything
right.
through. It's not meant to be an obstacle, you know. But it's pretty simple. We have a form. You know, there's a couple things to check about the hunt, what you used, whether it was, you know, an archery or, you know, whatever. And then there's a little bit of a description in there. But other than that, it's just really filling it out. So it's super easy. And then you need a score sheet and a photo in the field. And, yeah, that'll sum that one up as well. And if you send that to info@carry@biggame, those will both get to me. Yeah, and we have a youth category for
yes.
that one as well. So I always like to see those ones come in.
I love seeing those.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I sit on the trophy committee.
Yes,
so.
You do.
So
you know.
I get a chance to look at all those
yeah.
absolutely fantastic animals that
yeah.
are taken. And it's sometimes, honestly, it doesn't need to be. We look at the story involved.
Oh,
it's not
yes.
People say, well, I just shot this animal, had an absolutely fabulous hunt. I worked my tail
yes,
off.
Exactly.
But it's not going to score all that high. Well,
yeah.
we'll take that into consideration because to me that's a big part of that
yes.
hunt is what you did to attain that
yes,
animal
agreed.
Or, as opposed to just go, oh, there's a big animal bang,
yes,
you know. So we've in the past have even placed some lesser scoring animals
yes.
over others
agreed.
And to me that's kind of the way it's supposed to be. Yesterday I had the absolutely fantastic opportunity as far as I was concerned to sit down with you and Jay Cox and have lunch
at
an absolutely scrumptious Mexican food
yes.
place. Tell me a little bit about your background.
Yeah.
Because I found it very interesting as we were visiting yesterday. And what I want to do is kind of where you came from and how you got to
yes.
where you are now.
And it's definitely not a direct path. That's
not a
for
direct
sure.
path. Okay.
So I was born in New Jersey on the coast there. So I was always, you know, interested in the marine life and that kind of coastal atmosphere. And, you know, it just got me young. I just always thought it was cool. So I was interested in marine science. That's kind of where my science, I guess, started. So I ended up studying geology in university. I went to University of Delaware. And I was doing different projects using, you know, ArcGIS and kind of getting in the background and the coding and really just hard data points. And it was cool seeing from those data points how you could find out different you know, just characteristics of the way the Earth moved, whether it was water,
right.
Earth, you know, who knows, air, whatever. But I wanted to talk about it. You know, I didn't want to stay behind the computer and just keep crunching that data. And I never really saw myself as an extrovert type of person. But I realized I really like to talk about
right.
science and math and those kind of things. So I was like, I need to pursue that a little bit more. I realized
absolutely.
that was what kind of got my attention. And I ended up getting in contact with this woman who was leading a program in Switzerland. And she was interested in getting some more science-minded folks over to, you know, people who maybe grew up in the marketing world or, you know, they were interested in business and they never considered, you know, how the environment or
right.
science even fits into that world. And for me, it was always second nature. You know, I was always thinking about science. So I remember going in there and bringing up things to people and they were like, wow, I never thought of it that way. And you're like, really? I didn't even think that was that different, you know, but it is because some people just, you know, maybe they didn't have parents who studied
right.
science. It just, you know, they if they were in the city or even just, you know, somewhere where it didn't cross their path. So a part of that was to finish my master's, was to do an international internship, and somebody knew somebody, and I ended up doing an internship in South Africa. And, you know, I don't have one of those cool PH professional hunter internship stories, but it was really cool down there and just seeing a whole different way of life. And I had done another internship with dolphin research in Africa earlier, so I had kind of already seen a different side of culture. So I got to really dive into it more when I was there for that internship.
Literally and figuratively.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I just realized there's a lot more out there. You know, even coming from science, I think you kind of understand there's always more to learn. And I think that really helped to keep my, like, open mind and realize there was more. And I had always been interested in Dallas because I'm a huge Dallas Stars hockey fan, even being from New Jersey. I picked them when I was younger, and my dad said, hey, pick anyone you want, but you can't just switch if they start losing or whatever. You got to stick to it.
Yes. So, good advice.
Yes. So I said, you know what? I'm finished my master's. My mom's moving from my hometown. I'm going to try something new. So I moved to Dallas. And I was looking for a job, and I remembered months earlier I had been in Dallas, downtown, during January, and I was heading to the American Airlines Center to go to a hockey game, my first one at home, to watch the Stars. And we passed this big building, and it was lit up, and it said DSC on it. And I was like, you have to be pretty important to have this huge building lit up on your behalf. And I just Googled it really quick in the car. My friend was driving, and it popped up. It's at Dallas Fire Club. And I just kind of made a note, was like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So when I moved here, I was like, yeah, I remember that place. Let me just see what that's all about. And lo and behold, they were hiring. Crazy.
Good for us. Perfect timing, as far as I'm concerned.
And, you know, I can't remember the job description exactly, but it was talking about, I mean, communications. And I was like, oh, that's okay. That's cool. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, international experience, you know, is a plus. And I'm like, okay, wow, okay, I've got that now. That's really cool. And I remember coming in for my interview, and I can't remember if it was the first day or the second time I came back in, but I spoke with John Patterson, and you know, they were like, so you know this involves hunting, right? And I was like, yeah, I do, and I have zero experience in that, but I know it's scientifically backed, and that is where my, you know, loyalties lie, to science. So you don't have to convince me. I already believe, but I'm already on board. And I remember him telling me about just how rhinos, like the relationship of how just like the male dominance of, you know, the growing older male relationships. That was something I'd never heard of. I mean, even when I was in South Africa, there were so many species to talk about that I got surface level of so many.
Right.
And that was the first time I ever had a conversation like that. And I was like, this is something I want to be a part of. That was really mind opening. And I love learning new things. And I was like, this is a place where this is an opportunity. I'm going to learn a lot. And, you know, now, I mean, that was, I just had my 4-year work anniversary. So in that time, I've really learned, I can't even tell you how many things, millions of things. And I even enjoy going out there and shooting and stuff myself now. So
I think you brought a very interesting perspective to what was needed, quite frankly. Now, you mentioned hunting.
Yeah.
You got to hunt this past year, and that's where I wanted to, or I know that it was you, and you may have done it earlier, but I know this year, this past year, that you went down to South Texas to go hunting.
Yeah, and it kind of came together quickly, so it wasn't like, not that I was going to back out, but it didn't have a chance to like overthink it or anything. It was like, you know, we're going to do this. This is happening. And, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, okay, I was always a huge hiker, and, you know, geology field work was way up there, so I've been outside, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
But I also, from that, I know when you're not prepared to be outside, like, you could end up with some not great situations. So I was like, man, gotta make sure I have the right clothes, the right socks, the right, you know, I don't know, everything, hair tie, make sure my hair's up, you know, sunglasses, the whole thing. So I didn't have too much time to overthink, which I think really ended up helping me in the long run. you know, I wondered what it would be like when I was, you know, finally behind the gun myself. And I had read a couple, I guess, social science articles where they kind of try to get into the mind
right.
of a hunter. And I'm like, I don't know. Do I have that mind? I don't know. And, you know, once we got out there, and I had sat at a blind a couple times, and I had never, the opportunity to shoot never happened.
Right.
So I had sat in a blind. I was used to that part. And I think it was the second day we were out there, and it was in the evening. And, you know, I knew there was, like, say, an hour left before sunset. So I'm like, oh, here it goes, another day, another time. I sat out here and just, you know, just never had the chance.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it was like, shh, shh, shh. I'm like, oh, gosh, it's going to happen. But you have to be quiet, and I didn't want to get too excited. And, you know, because at any moment they could just dash the other way.
Absolutely.
So,
particularly in that country, disappeared.
Yes. So, I wondered, I didn't have time to wonder too much right then if I would, if I could do it or not. And I don't want to say it felt natural, because I was still really awkward trying to get my placement and, you know, remember to breathe and hold the gun properly and everything.
Right, right.
Thank gosh I had two people in there with me to talk me through it, of course. Could never have done it on my own. But it really just felt like, I didn't feel like I was out of place or...
You weren't. It is. It's a very natural thing.
Yes. And I've heard people say that, and I was like, oh,
yeah, sure.
It sounds like something in a book or
right.
a movie. But I really did feel that way. And it definitely is the type of thing, like, once you do it, you want to go back. And I mean, I had grown up, I think a few friends of a friend had been hunting, and you know what it is. It's not like I was like, oh, what's that? What is hunting? But to be out there doing it myself was definitely not what I was picturing when I heard about someone else doing it. In my mind, I had no idea how much was involved in it. Like, I would have thought then, if I had decided to go, I could just go and go do it. But there's just so many steps and levels to get there. I mean, I had never heard of, like, a hunter education course. You know,
right.
I didn't know you had to do any of that, let alone get a license and figure out where you can go. You know, if it's your own land, I guess that's different. But, you know, public land or whatever, you really have to try. It's not that easy.
Is it worth it?
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait to go again. And it's one of those things where I know I'm still, I wouldn't even, novice is too strong a word. I couldn't go out there by myself. So it's
a continual learning process.
Yes.
And I've been hunting all my life.
Yeah.
And I love every moment. I can't wait for the next opportunity.
Yes.
And it has to do with so many different things, but that learning has a big part of it. Because
yeah.
every time I go out, I seem to learn something about nature, about the animals I'm hunting, and quite often learn something about myself as well.
Right. I'm a big reader, so I like to just, I can be quiet and, you know, just sit and focus on small things.
Right.
And, you know, so that wasn't an issue for me or anything, but it really is in those times, I feel like, when you forget about everything else and, escape from reality just sounds so overused, but it really is just, I feel like you get something else out of life doing that. And not that some people don't like going outside, and that's fine.
That's right.
But I feel like it really unlocks a different part of yourself. I agree with you.
I think you're exactly right. I've been very fortunate. I grew up in a hunting family. My wife doesn't hunt.
Yeah.
She's spent a lot of time out in the field with me over the years, but she could care less about the actual hunting side of
right,
things.
Right.
She enjoys venison.
Hey, there you go.
My daughters are great hunters. My grandkids are that way. But
yep.
to me, the importance of all that was of getting them out. I wanted them to have that opportunity to decide, mm-hmm. is this
yes.
something I enjoy? Is this something... The other side of that was, and to me, that's important about getting people into the field
mm-hmm.
hunting, is for them to have a better understanding.
Oh,
I want
yeah.
them to make their decision rather than somebody says, well, hunting is bad and you shouldn't do this.
Yes.
And how dare you hunt? Those
yes.
kind of, I think as a human being, we have that innate desire
yes.
to pursue animals in a long
yes.
time. And some of us allow that to come to the surface, and some of us try to repress it.
Right.
But to me, it's pretty much always there.
Yeah. I know now, previously, if I had mentioned to my mom or my sister and said, like, you guys are going to go hunting, they would be like, that is something so foreign, so crazy, never. But now I feel like, especially because I could explain it to them a little bit more and be like, you know, remember when we went on that hike? You know, remember this, remember that? I feel like it would be a way to, because I've done it now, that they feel more like they could do it. It doesn't feel like something that's, you know, in New Jersey, you're like, oh, yeah, that's the, you know, crazy people in the north or something.
Yeah, I think you're some of that. And I think some people are simply intimidated to a point. And they really don't need to be. We visited yesterday a little bit, too. I'm working somewhat with Tim Fallon with the FTW Ranch, where they do the Sportsman All-Weather All-Terrain Marksmanship. And they've got a new hunters program.
Yes.
That you're going to be one of the people
in. I think it sounds amazing.
And what the entire purpose is there are a lot of folks these days who may want to get into hunting, or maybe they're not sure, but maybe they purchased a gun because they were concerned about self-protection or whatever. And now they got this gun, and now they're also wondering, with some of the things we faced in the last year, am I going to have food for my family?
Right.
So now this will be an opportunity. And exactly. What we'll do with that is to take somebody that maybe has never even held a gun or has had, maybe like you, they've had some opportunities, but maybe they've never even held a gun, but they've always kind of been interested or now particularly interested, and take them through the entire process of from the gun to the field, to taking the animal, to taking that animal apart and properly, and then preparation of the food properly, and learning along the way about why this is important, and learning about some of the habits of the animals as well, too.
And I think that's one of the biggest barriers, is even if there is that interest there, you know, where do you go? Where do you start?
Right.
If you don't have someone directly in your life who's done it, I mean, you have so many questions, or you don't even know what questions to ask.
That's a big part. Like I said, I grew up in a hunting family, and one of the things that we also talked about a little bit yesterday, you and Jay and I, in some of the publications that we're doing and maybe some of the websites and that kind of thing, is really going back to the total basics of, you know, the different parts of the gun and why this is important and why the fit of the gun is important, and what about choosing ammo, about choosing scopes or any of those things, to where we're going to try to take some of that very basic information and be able to provide it to people who now all of a sudden go, you know, maybe I really need to get out and hunt for my family.
And I don't know too much about the program, but the just being around other people who are new, too, I think that helps.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, because I know, you know, I love how many people have offered to take me here, you know, mentioned it. But it's like, yeah, exactly. But it's like, sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm not even that far yet. Like, I need you to even take it back further. Like, when I say beginner, I mean, you know, beginner.
Start with a B and not the G or
the
either end.
Halfway through. And I think just being around other people, like, they might be able to articulate something that, and I'm like, you know, I'm confused about this. And then someone explains, it's like, no, not that. Exactly. And so, you know, it's just like when you're in a classroom and someone asks a question, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm sure someone else has that question, too. You're not the only one.
Well, I will tell you this much about the instructors that will be involved in this, particularly on the shooting side. And they're hunters as well, too.
Yeah.
These guys are some of the most fantastic instructors I've ever been around.
Exactly.
I've been there when they've taken several people who've never held a gun before.
Exactly.
Or maybe it's a wife or a spouse or a child.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, in particularly certain ages, children are asking all kinds of questions, thank God.
Yes, exactly.
And they're asking questions a lot of time that the adult that's standing over there really wants to know,
but
he doesn't want to ask.
Yes, or feels like they should know already or something.
And so to me, when you get this kind of a group together, and like I said, I know all the people involved on the instruction side of it, they thrive on those kind of things.
Yes, exactly. And I love that they're creating that environment to take that to the first level there. I think it's going to be really great.
Ms. Carey, before we close this thing out, again, I want to let people know how they can get in touch with you, whether it's something relative to DSC,
of course,
or particularly in terms of what we were talking about earlier, whether it's photography, the awards program, or
a short story?
With the Camp Talk online or any of those. Tell me how to best get in touch with you and to present you with ideas.
Yeah. Email me anytime. Thoughts. If there's something even you want to see more of or, you know, wish we did, just let me know. I love new ideas. And, you know, even if you just want to have a conversation about it, just email me at carrie@biggame.org. So that's carrie@biggame.org.
Right. Two G's.
Yes, two G's, a K and two R's, and an E in my name. It has to be difficult.
Miss Carrie, thank you so very much. I can't wait to see you at the FTW later on.
Thank you.
I truly enjoy and appreciate everything you do for DSC. Thank you so very much.
Appreciate it.
DSC's Untamed Heritage is also brought to you by Texas Wildlife Association, working for tomorrow's wildlife today. Wildlife Systems, serving hunters and landowners since 1987. Kennetrek Boots, for the trail less traveled. Ruger, rugged, reliable firearms. Pyramid Air, your one stop for everything air gun.
Me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew here at Duck Camp Dinners every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Birds up in the sky.
A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8 Western. Oh, a mule deer, baby, right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.